statewide coverage of the biggest games, coaches, players, and moments begins now. Tennessee Prep Weekly is on. It's high school sports at its best. It's time for Tennessee Prep Weekly. Here's your host, Jesse Smithy.
Welcome into another edition of Tennessee Prep Weekly, brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, who reminds you if you booze it, you will lose it. Don't drink and drive. Don't text and drive. Also, big shout out to Christian Brothers Automotive and Cumberland University for being sponsors of the program and the website as well. Their support is invaluable in highlighting these great teams, coaches, players, and fans in the state of Tennessee each and every week right here on this show. I am your host tonight, Jesse Smithy. Certainly appreciate Chris Eakes for filling in for me last week. Well, as I was in Orlando for the PGA Golf Show, doing some major work down there, and they were gracious enough to have me on for a segment. And we had a little bit of a football show last week as a lot of weather and ice and snow and storms wreaked havoc on the basketball scene and really didn't leave us much to talk about as far as game results. So we decided to take a little bit of a break and highlight some football goings on, whether it's recruitment or coaching changes, or back this week with a full slate of basketball in the state of Tennessee. And we've got some big time guests on the program tonight, legendary coaches in the state of Tennessee. Jody Wright, head boys basketball coach and athletic director at Fulton High School, is a state champion many times over, will be a Hall of Famer. He's got the arena there in Knoxville named after him and a plaque on the wall with his likeness on it. So also one of the biggest stories in the mid-state, East Nashville, undefeated start, best start in school history. We'll have Jim Fay on the program tonight. Great, great interview with Jim. You do not want to miss that, as he'll discuss some of the goings-on of his program and how he's been able to stay at East Nashville for over 20 years and why he has stayed there that long. Very poignant interview with Jim, and gave some very profound answers. You don't want to miss that. And we'll also break down some West Tennessee basketball with one of my old-time sports writer friends, Michael Odom from the Jackson Sun. He'll tell us some of the girls and boys basketball programs in the greater Jackson area to possibly keep an eye on. He'll also discuss some of his Mr. and Miss Basketball favorites as well. Give us a little hint or preview as to who could take those awards home, not just this year, but for the next 2 or 3 years. So certainly stay tuned for that interview as well. But like all we always do in this first segment, we're going to get to some news and some notes and give some player shout-outs for big nights on the court, and there have been many over the last few days. Two very big stories we're keeping an eye on. We'll start down in Chattanooga, where Rodney English, who had been suspended since an altercation with a player and a parent took place after last Friday's game against Tyner, submitted his resignation. That was from the Chattanooga Times Free Press Twitter account. I read that verbatim from their Twitter account. Rodney English has submitted his resignation as East Hamilton basketball coach after being suspended since an altercation took place with a parent and a player after their game against Tyner. We'll be monitoring that situation, what happens with Rodney English, through the Chattanooga Times Free Press. Kelly Smitty, Stephen Hargis do a very good job down there in that area of the state of keeping tabs on the latest breaking news. We'll see how East Hamilton progresses going forward as we get through the last leg of the regular season and into the postseason, if they'll be able to get along without their head coach. And the reason I mentioned Kelly Smitty, one of the reporters from the Chattanooga Times Free Press, is because he was all over the scene this past weekend when Austin East traveled down to Chattanooga Brainerd. It was 36-32 Brainerd early in the first half when an all-out brawl took place. According to Kelly Smitty's Twitter account, looked like there were two players who went after a loose ball. One got up, threw a ball at the other player, and an all-out melee ensued. Fans in the stands coming down on the court. The game was called. Bernard Childress, the executive director of the TWSAA, said the game is ruled a no contest, And we should find out this week, sometime this week, what the punishment could be. Will Austin East and Brainerd both miss the playoffs? Will they have postseason bans? Will there be player ejections and suspensions that could cause these team seedings to be altered? What we don't know is where the footage is going to come from. Now that it's been said to the press that the coaches instructed a lot of their videographers to stop recording when there's a dead ball. Now, is there security footage from the gym? We'll have to see. But as of this weekend, they were trying to find actual footage of what happened, who left the bench, who got involved, who wasn't involved. And so this is going to be a very difficult call for Bernard Childress and the TSSAA of singling out what happened in this fight. And it would not surprise me if they just went ahead and gave blanket suspensions to both programs. If there's not enough evidence to be produced, and they do not like fights, you can go ask the people up in Coalfield football program about what happens when they hear, TSSAA hears that there's been fighting on the field with fans involved. It's not pretty. Oftentimes, there's a pretty heavy hand that's been dealt to that program. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Austin East. We'll see what happens with Brainerd. But check out Chattanooga Times Free Press, Kelly Smitty on Twitter, at Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, Smitty, S-M-I-D-D-I-E, for the latest on that situation. All right, let's get to some good news, some big player shout-outs for this past week. And many thanks to the Tennessean, for the Jackson Sun, to the Commercial Appeal in Memphis, to the Knoxville News Sentinel, Chattanooga Times Free Press, Johnson City Press, for covering high school athletics, putting these great performers out there for us to be able to keep track of and keep tabs on. And so many of these performances I found from their Twitter accounts or their website. So just want to give them accreditation for doing that work and putting those names and statistics out there for us. Let's start over in Cumberland County. We've mentioned this young lady on the program before, and she had another fantastic outing. Gracie Dishman, that's Gracie with two E's on the end. Dishman had 38 points in a 76-51 win over Grundy County. Again, Gracie Dishman is going to be in the running for Miss Basketball. You can go ahead and count on that. Mallory Christian from Van Buren had 34 points and 3 three-pointers and an 89-72 win over South Pittsburgh. And Emmy Nelson from Cheatham County had 32 points and a 71-50 win over Harpeth. Got to mention Anna Smith as well from Grace Christian, had 5 three-pointers and finished with 30 points in a 65-17 win over Republic. And hey, we had a couple of girls with some triple doubles. Can't wait to read these stat lines. Shanta Shaw from Pearl Cone, 28 points, get this, 14 steals and 12 assists in a 72-26 win over Hume Fog. 14 steals. It's the first time in school history that Pearl Cone has had two people with triple doubles in the same game, and that's because y'all Brian Chambers had 27 points, 10 steals, and 13 rebounds in that same game. And I apologize to her if I messed up her pronunciation of her first name. I know how that feels. But she had 27 points, 10 steals, and 13 rebounds. So between Shaw and Chambers, that's 24 steals between those two players. That's incredible. I haven't seen defense like that since the Austin East girls team used that defensive pressure to win a state basketball tournament about 10 years ago. Love this storyline. Mary Mackey from Middle Tennessee Christian School scored 16 points in a 62-25 rout over Knowledge Academy. And you might be saying, Jesse, 16 points, pretty commonplace for to see an athlete score 16 points in a game. But yeah, she's an eighth grader. I love seeing these eighth graders at maybe a private school play up on the varsity level and really, really shine. Just makes for an interesting story from a sports writer standpoint, and just gives a little bit more oomph to the game when you see a kid like that balling out on the varsity level, knowing good and well she should be playing middle school or junior high basketball. Let's get to some boys' top performers. Riley McLaren from Forest had 8 three-pointers, unbelievable, and finished with a national area best, 51 points on Friday. Again, crediting the Tennessean on this stat line. He was 13 of 13 at the free throw line in that 80-66 win over Giles County, and Giles County's got to be going, man, what if we could have stopped this guy, we probably could have won that game. He was certainly the difference maker in that. Riley McLaren, Forrest had 51 points, 13 of 13 at the free throw line, and 8 3-pointers. Pretty sure he was everybody's MVP this past week in the Mid-State area. Keon Johnson from Webb School, not a Webb School in Knoxville, but Webb School, had 37 points and 3 3-pointers and a loss to BGA. Of course, we've talked about Keon on the program many times this year. He's a big-time performer, going to be probably a Mr. Basketball finalist this year, possible winner. We'll see how that unfurls, but a nice 2020 recruit in the state, 37 points in that loss to BGA. Landon Woodcock from Clay County had 7 3-pointers, finished with 36 points in a loss to Pickett County. Cole Scott from Grace Christian scored 32 points in a win over Republic. This next stat, this next big-time performer comes from the Memphis area from W.E.B. Du Bois. Zaylin Macklin, 30 rebounds in a game. 30. While scoring 20 points in a 90-74 victory over Westwood. 20 points, 30 rebounds. Hats off to that man, doing work. Over in the Knoxville area, Jada Gwynn from Oak Ridge scored 25 points in a 59-25 win over Anderson County, and also had 24 points in a 66-38 win over Powell. Haley Schubert's been turning heads for Powell this year for her play on the court, 22 points and 27 points respectively last week against Oak Ridge and Halls. And my alma mater, Jayla Cook from Humboldt, 28 points, 17 rebounds, and 5 block shots, but they lost to Peabody 69-62. Hey, that wraps up our top performers, and a big shout out to all those players that we mentioned. If you have any, send them to us at Prep Weekly on Twitter. Don't go anywhere. We got interviews coming up with some legendary head coaches that you do not want to miss. Stay with us right here on Tennessee Prep Weekly, right here on your statewide radio network.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Find all of your Cumberland University athletics information on the web at www.gocumberlandathletics.com. The site features new graphics and links to rosters, schedules, program details, and news stories on all 20 Phoenix sports. Links for live stats, video, and audio may also be found on the site. Your home for Cumberland Athletics, gocumberlandathletics.com.
It's time for you to visit PrepWeekly.com, so get in your hurry-up offense and get there ASAP. PrepWeekly.com is the state's newest and most interactive website, covering East, West, and Middle Tennessee high school sports. We have fun and quick reads that allow fans from all corners of the state to enjoy seeing their teams and players highlighted in pictures, features, and interactive polls. You can get it all now at PrepWeekly.com. That's PrepWeekly.com.
The fighting spirit of the Marine Corps is born of battles won. Battles won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's a promise made to you for more than 2 centuries. A promise of the Marines.
Welcome back into Tennessee Prep Weekly. You're going to really enjoy hearing from our next guest, but right quick, I want to tell you about Christian Brothers Automotive. You've heard me talk about them on the program before. One of the best decisions in my life is to take our family's vehicles to Christian Brothers Automotive. If you're not doing that, you're doing your car a disservice, and you're doing yourself and your pocketbook a disservice. They're going to take care of your car. They're going to take care of you. And once everything is done, they're going to follow up with you a week or two later by text or call or even by a card in the mail. They're going to make sure that everything's okay. Great customer service at Christian Brothers Automotive. Look them up online. Find a location near you. Check them out, Christian Brothers Automotive. Now, I want to bring in a very special guest, somebody I've known for well over a decade during my time covering high school sports in the greater Knoxville area, Fulton boys basketball coach Jody Wright. Jody, thanks for joining us on the program tonight. How are you?
JC, how are you, buddy?
I'm not doing too bad. I know you guys are off to a 15-5 start. You've seen multiple state championship teams at your program. Where does this team stand right now in the grand scheme of things of where you want them to be?
Well, again, still a work in progress. It's been an unusual year. Probably my, 33, 34 years, one of the more unusual seasons we've had. It's been hard to have some continuity. Of the 20 games we played, probably less than half of them, we've had a full roster. We've had guys out for this, for that, for sickness, for injuries, for other reasons. And it's just been hard to kind of get on that continuity that you want. But, again, we played through a lot of those setbacks, and it's made us stronger. We've developed depth that we probably wouldn't have developed because of it. I think we've developed a little toughness that we've because we've had to. Back's been against the wall, so I like where we are. I'm going to be interesting to see where we are in 2 weeks after this six-game stretch that we have to wrap up the season. So I think definitely we'll be tournament ready.
How important is it for you and your program to have teams like Bearden and Oak Ridge, Central Powell on the schedule at the tail end of the season?
Well, you just don't want to go into the postseason having questions and wondering if, again, are we prepared? Are we tough enough? Postseason is just it's a different animal, and it's its own animal. And if you're not ready for the rigors of it, if you haven't been exposed, if you haven't been through the fire, so to speak, so many times you get teams that you think are contenders, and they get in the postseason and they're pretenders because they haven't undergone, the trials. And sometimes those trials are painful, but they hurt. It's painful when you lose, and when you lose big sometimes, but I think in the long run, if you look at the big picture, I've worried more about what we do in February than losing games in January or December.
We're talking with Jody Wright, boys basketball coach at Fulton High School, one of the top teams in the state in Class AA. Jody, you look back a couple of weeks to that game against Webb, and you guys took one on the chin. What do you think your players learned from that blowout loss? Not from a coaching standpoint, but what do you think your players learned about themselves that night?
Well, again, it was one of those nights where absolutely nothing went right for us. Had a good first quarter, and then it kind of just unraveled in the second quarter, and a lot of missed opportunities. It's one of those things where if you look at the game, Webb was 18 for 19 at the foul line, and we were 13 of 30.
Wow.
And so you figure in the points right there, plus the one-and-ones, and we left about 21 points at the foul line. Weblaw left one. So that's about a 20-point swing. And then when, it's a 25-point game. So now you're seeing, it was one of those things where, you can kind of talk about it, but when you're winning and you're overcoming those things, it's not a big deal. And I think, too, just, handling adversity. We didn't handle it well. Had a few bad calls, and we reacted poorly to it, and that starts with me. And I've got to do a better job of getting those guys to play through that. That's just part of the game, And the officials certainly didn't beat us, and I think our guys were probably looking for a little bit of excuse, and the biggest thing is you got to own it, and so. Wednesday was a good day for us, and then I was really proud of how we went on road to Alcoa, and again had a couple guys sick, and just played tough. We were down five with about a minute 20 to go, and came back and won it there late. So those things right there, sometimes adversity reveals the best or the worst of us.
A lot of people listen to this show around the state in the Memphis market, mid-state area, Chattanooga and Tri-Cities. A lot of those same people are used to seeing your guys down at the state tournament in Murfreesboro. For those who haven't seen your team this year, can you talk about, you know, a few of the players who have really kind of stepped up and taken the reins of the program?
Well, you know, the guy that really makes us go is a little big sophomore point guard, Edward Lacey. Small guy. He's the smallest guy on the floor every night. And, you know, I just love his motor. He is not as he's not as skilled as a Gallman or a Steele was, but he plays as hard as anybody I've ever coached. And so he's still learning the game, but, you know, I know that you know, we're going to get great effort. And he's kind of the guy that makes us go. You've got, you know, Trey Davis is a junior, and he's bigger and he's stronger and playing well. Deshaun Page in the post, and a lot of people have heard Deshaun Page's name on the football field. And, you know, he is just a he's a guy that just, again, has got a great motor on him. He's really played well for us the last couple of weeks in the post. Those are probably the three guys that really kind of make us go. But we have other guys with Josh Berry, James Davis, you know, that have Jayshon Finnerson, that have all played really well for us.
When you get some of these guys and you see what you see in them at a young age, how do you ensure that they take the necessary steps to develop their skill set? You know, a lot of guys in football will go to certain camps or they'll go to certain combines. What do you try to encourage your players to do in the off season?
You know, there's no, first of all, kids are always looking for the easiest way. You know, that's just human nature. You know, in today's age of social media and instant gratification, you know, they want it to happen in 15 seconds. And there's nothing that beats just getting in the gym. You know, you can play on, you know, 5 AAU teams and do all those things right there. But skill development in the gym, there's still no substitute for that. You know, it's funny when you talk to young players and you say, what are you going to do to get better in the offseason? Well, I'm playing on, you know, 2 AAU teams, coach. Okay, well, what are you doing to get better? And they kind of look at you a little puzzled, and you got to help them understand, you know, AAU is playing. And if that was the way to skill development, then that's all you would see. The best players in the world, which are in the NBA, that's all they would do in the off season, is just play pickup. But, you know, they're in there in the gym. And so still the old time tested way of getting in the gym by yourself, getting up shots, working on your game, skill development, you know, that still has that part of the game hasn't changed. And I think that's the thing they got to understand. It's hard work, and it's that's why you see you know, the gym rats that are still the best players today, and they're still going to be the best players tomorrow.
We're talking with Jody Wright, head boys basketball coach at Fulton High School, off to a 15-5 start, 7-1 in district play. And Jody, I want to talk a little bit about big picture basketball, not just in the East Tennessee region, but also the state. Can you see a day in the future when basketball is an equal to football as far as fan fervor to that level?
You know, that's a good question, Jesse. And if I probably had the answer to that that I felt good about, I'd probably be a rich man right now. I don't think we'll ever see the number of classes that like we have in football, and a lot of that is just due to they're inherently different sports from a safety standpoint, from the way that the sport is structured. Basketball multiple nights a week, football one game a week, and you know, so and I don't know that we need that. You know, it's kind of funny because in certain part of the state, it's, you know, football is very big here in East Tennessee. You get in West Tennessee, you go to play a game at Dyer County, you go to play a game at Bolivar, go to play a game at Haywood County, and those areas, it's amazing the crowd support. Would love to see that. It's It's always interesting and challenging. When you play a West Tennessee team in the state tournament, you can count on they're going to bring a couple thousand people. We played Haywood in the finals in 2015, and they probably brought 7,500 people.
Right.
We played Bolivar in the semis in 2009, and, you know, and it was just full of green. We played Dyer County in the semis in 2008, you know, and, you know, half the gym was in orange. So in certain part of the state, we have reached that. The challenge is for that to go across the state, and I don't know if we're just battling
right.
tradition
well,
and history,
but, a lot of Fulton
because you go up an hour up the road
and
in Kentucky,
many other rivalries in the,
and it's that
in
way
area
every
in
night.
Tennessee as well. We'll see if we can kind of get those days back again. But Jody, we're pretty much out of time this time around. I wish you the best of luck the rest of the season, and thanks so much for joining us on the program. Stay with us. We got much more to come on Prep Statewide Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back right after this.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Find all of your Cumberland University athletics information on the web at www.gocumberlandathletics.com. The site features new graphics and links to roster schedules, program details, and news stories on all 20 Phoenix sports. Links for live stats, video, and audio may also be found on the site. Your home for Cumberland Athletics, gocumberlandathletics.com.
It's time for you to visit PrepWeekly.com, so get in your hurry-up offense and get there ASAP. PrepWeekly.com is the state's newest and most interactive website, covering East, West, and Middle Tennessee high school sports. We have fun and quick reads that allow fans from all corners of the state to enjoy seeing their teams and players highlighted in pictures, features, and interactive polls. You can get it all now at PrepWeekly.com. That's PrepWeekly.com.
When you've got car troubles, there's nothing worse than going to a repair shop and having to worry if someone is trying to sell you repairs that you just don't need. At Christian Brothers Automotive, we'll show you how we're different. We get to know you and your car. We explain the what and the why for just the repairs that your car needs. Then you decide what work is done. Doesn't that sound much easier than the alternative? Only the car repairs you need. It's that simple. Visit ChristianBrothersAuto.com to schedule an appointment or find a location near you. Welcome back to Tennessee Prep Weekly. I'm your host this segment, Jesse Smithy, as I have been all night, now joined with a very special story out of the mid-state area, East Nashville, off to its best start in school history, and longtime coach Jim Fay now joins us on the show. Jim, what's going on in East Nashville this year?
Well, we're just having a great year. We're off to a great start, and hopefully we'll keep things rolling, but got a great group of kids and had a lot of fun this year.
No one ever really foresees an undefeated type of season unfurling, but you guys had a nice year last year. And going into the off season, what were your hopes or expectations for this team?
Well, obviously my hopes and expectations were that we would be the best team in Nashville, and that's kind of our expectations every year. We have set it where we expect to win, we expect to be successful. We don't always, you know, win every game, obviously. That's a very rare thing in itself. But we still set the goal, the expectation, to win every game. I think that's what set us up to be what I feel like is probably the best program in Nashville for this decade, for sure.
When your guys are getting all this tension, guys like me are calling you for interviews, the Tennesseans doing articles and whatnot, how do you help them manage and kind of compartmentalize the notoriety and put it where it needs to be?
Well, you know, we talk about it most every day. you know, we're one game at a time. We don't think about the other games on the schedule. You know, I even told them the other day before we played MLK, I said, listen, I said, some people look ahead. I said, it catches people off guard. They lose a game they shouldn't lose. I said, our focus is always going to be on the same team. It's going to be the team we play next. It will never be for who we play down the line, and it will always be for our next game. And as much as it's exciting and we would like to be the, you know, we want to talk about a state tournament, you know, I don't want to talk about that either. I just want to talk about who we're going to play next. And, you know, at that particular practice, that was Thursday, and I said, so the only focus we have right now is MLK. That is our only game that means anything at this moment.
How much did the weather disruptions play into your season? Were you worried that it was going to kind of throw the guys off their rhythm and everything, that the momentum that they had built up?
Well, we're about to find that out, because the next 2 weeks we have three games a week for the next 2 weeks. We play Maplewood this Thursday, and we turn around and play them the following Friday, the next Friday again. So we're going to play what's been on one of the better teams in this area for a while. We're going to play them twice in 8 days, and typically in basketball that's not something you see. You know, like I've been around for a while, and in my younger years in coaching, I was always stressed about weather and things like that. But as I've gotten older, I just quit worrying about it, because I can't control the weather. I can't control school policies. We have if you're out of school for inclement weather, we have a policy that you cannot play or practice. And, so the bottom line is, you know, I'm going to do whatever the rules allow me to do and move forward. But I have a senior group, and those seniors kind of, they understand. They've been winners since their freshman year, and they understand, you know, what it's like to go to work and take things in a business-like manner. So hopefully we'll do well. But like I said, here's where the weather has a chance to maybe try to affect us in some way.
You talked about your seniors. Who are some of the guys that you think could possibly go on to play at the next level, maybe be a Mr. Basketball candidate, or who are just, you know, seniors that have taken the reins of this team and really providing that leadership?
I've got a core group of seniors. Jaden Lockett is a 6'3 guard wing. I played him anywhere from 1 to 4. He's got great court vision, and he's been one of our leaders. I think he's good enough to be a Mr. Basketball. I really do. His stats are I don't know how strong you'd say they're. You know, he's 14.7 points, 9.3 rebounds. He's 4.5 assists, 3.8 steals. I mean, he does it all. And the thing is, you look at his point total and you say 14.7, he's not got the gaudy numbers that some people have. Quite honestly, I don't believe in you know, stat padding. I believe that if you're going to have a big game where you score 35, 40 points, I think it needs to be a meaningful game. If you play a weaker team and get 40 points, that to me, that's not that impressive. I mean, that just means you didn't probably play everybody that's practiced hard all week and wants a shot at getting some game minutes as well. Gene Holmes, he's closing on 1,000 points for us. Great leader, great young man. Both these kids are just super, super people. Been around them for 4 years, and I really enjoyed my time with these guys. Brian Thompson's a Hume Award winner in football this year, and he's been with us again for the entire time. He led us last year. I think he had more double doubles than anybody I can ever remember in our school's history. And then probably the most unsung hero of the group is Monte Catlett, and Monte is he's carried us in some games. And my assistant coach and I, Avery Patton, I talked to him, and if Monte has a great game, I'm not even worried about the outcome, because he is really a steady player and steady contributor. And then Friday night, I got out of basically a first-year player, Justin Williams, had 16 points and 16 rebounds against MLK. He's coming off hideous knee surgery from last year, where he only played about half a year of JV, and this is his first real year of playing high school basketball, and he's been a real force on the inside for us. So these guys, that's my starting lineup, and these guys have been great for us.
That last fella you're talking about, when he has a game like that against MLK and that 70-50 win, what can that do for a kind of budding young player like that to go ahead and take that performance, get some confidence from it?
Well, I'd like to think that he can take that and snowball it, because if he plays like that the rest of the way, we're going to be a tough out for anybody. The tough thing, when you have a high rank like that, you know, everybody wants to beat you. In our school system, East Nashville's kind of known for having a good basketball program, so we're pretty much marked on everybody's calendar. And when you have a player like that that steps up, that helps a lot, because he's still learning the game. Once he fully learns and comprehends the game, he's really going to be a tremendous player. I think his best basketballs are in front of him, so he's going to have an opportunity to play on the next level after he finishes at East.
We're joined by Jim Fay, head boys basketball coach at East Nashville. And Jim, tonight on the program is kind of a rarity. You've been at East Nashville for 22 years. Another guest on the program tonight, Jody Wright, has been the boys basketball coach at Fulton and Knoxville for well over 30 years. When you look at basketball in the state, high school basketball in the state, how much of a rarity do you consider yourself? Coaches don't last at the same spot for as long as you guys have been at your respective locations.
Well, you know, there's times have changed, and there's a lot of different things that, you know, go into a coach leaving. And I've just been real fortunate. I have a good school. I've had the support of the administrators that I've been through in my time, great kids in my community. I think that, and see, my high school closed in 86, and so I don't really have a place to go back home. So pretty much just made East Nashville my home, and I feel real comfortable there with everybody that I'm associated with. Coach Wright has done what a remarkable job he's done. He's been the best coach in the Knoxville area for a long time. Got a couple of state championships. You know, we're only hopeful to try to get one, you know, at some point like him. But it is different today, but it's just one of those things that if you feel good about what you're doing and who you're doing it with, you need to kind of stick with it. There are opportunities that come and go, but at the end of the day, you know, you got to be true to your heart. And I would really, in a lot of cases, you know, hate to look at my kids and say, you know, I'm moving on. And I'm not going to do that if it's not the right time and right place. So that's kind of been one of my goals as well. And I can't speak for Coach Wright, but one of my goals has been that I want to be the longest tenured coach in East high school history. I'm still trying to find that out. I think I'm pretty close. But that's a goal, and I think it's something good. I think longevity says –